Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. When you go to high school or college, you take classes, you do the work, and you get credit. We actually use that term. Credit on the transcript. This is a normal thing. People expect to get credit for the work that they do. We have laws based on that concept. Copyright laws are designed to protect the intellectual property of software companies, publishers, authors, songwriters. Patent laws do the same thing for inventors. It would be plagiarism and a sin to take the copyrighted words of an author and quote them in your paper without acknowledging the source. It would be cheating and a sin to take the homework done by your classmate and pass it off as your own. Let's keep these examples in mind as we hear the verse of our text, a passage that identifies something worse than plagiarism. It's the worst form of credit stealing out there. The one true God says in Isaiah 42, verse 8, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images." Stealing credit from God is an ancient problem, which took place commonly in the form of idolatry. Like the worship of Baal in Old Testament times. Stealing credit from God happens today in the secular world at so many academic institutions. On the pages of a science textbook, you might know what I'm talking about. God deserves the full credit for his work of creation. Even as, on a much lower level, an architect and a contractor get credit for the building they construct. Now consider what happens with the evolutionist and his theory. He is taking the credit from God and falsely applying it to the creation when he says that the universe and nature put themselves together in some random way through accidental changes taking place over the course of billions of years. One day, God will make it clear and obvious to everyone that he's the maker of all things. Until then, we, his people, have a responsibility to stand up for him, represent his claim of creation, and defend his work, especially using what the Bible teaches. This does not mean, though, that we Christians as creation confessors are in the clear on this sort of thing. We have our own ways of stealing credit from God. It happens in our prideful moments. In pride, we primarily think of ourselves as the ones who worked hard to earn the money, or the ones who got good grades because of our intelligence, or had an excellent performance, made the awesome play in the game because of our abilities. We forget that God is working in us, through us. We don't thank him as we should for the abilities we have, the opportunities too, and all the help that he provides. This self-centered focus of ours is just as wrong as believing in evolution or making the Muslim claim that the Creator God is Allah. Thankfully, God alone gets the glory, the credit for doing something spectacular on your behalf. Our sins, whether it's pride or thanklessness or everything else, our sins are enough reason for the one true God to walk away and be done with us, to reject us. If that actually happened, it would be fair and right. It would keep his holiness intact. If God did the opposite, if he did not confront our sins and carry out justice, that would have the impact of eroding his glory as the God who is completely holy. Here's where Jesus enters the picture as that great, spectacular thing that God did. It becomes a study in contrasts. On the one hand, there is the intimidating glory of God's holiness, which does not go away. On the other hand, there is the winsome, incredible glory of his grace. In the person and work of Jesus 2,000 years ago, these two contrasts merge together, especially at the cross. The gospel lays out how. In keeping with God's holiness, the Lord does require that you and I live a life of perfect obedience. But according to his grace, he has Christ carry out that requirement for us. Likewise, in keeping with his holiness, all of our sins have to be paid for. But in his grace, Jesus is the one who makes that payment. God alone gets the glory for an amazing transfer. What we hear in 2 Corinthians 5, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, all of our sins are placed on Jesus, which means that he gets the blame, the shame, the punishment. At the cross, he gets the curse, the wrath, the full brunt of God's justice. Meanwhile, his perfect record has been applied to us, all by design. This is not some false shifting or cosmic credit stealing. This is what the grace of God does for you. This is your salvation already accomplished. This is your forgiveness, your hope of eternal life, and the best reason we have to thank and glorify God as the glorious Savior in Christ. So, with eyes focused on him, our Savior, and his gospel ringing in our ears, his love captivating our hearts, this credit that he deserves, we begin to offer to him in our worship and prayers, in the songs of the choir, in training for the ministry, in our witness to the world, and much more. To him alone belongs such glory, in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll conclude by singing hymn 37, stanzas 1 and 3. Stanzas 1 and 3 of hymn 37.